Let's begin. Today, let me read you the pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Devarim. In the beginning of Chumash Devarim, it says, Vayihi, it was Be'arboim Shonon, the 40th year. The 40th year from the time that Klal Yisrael left Egypt, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Be'ashtei Osro Chodesh, in the 11th month. Today is the 11th month. What day of the month? Be'echad LaChodesh. On the first day of the month, Diber Moshe spoke El Bnei Yisrael to the entire Jewish people, Kichol Asher Tziva Hashem Oisoi Aleihem. Everything. It's a very beautiful pasuk. Every word here is full of depth. Okay, I'll read the Rashi. Rashi says something very, very, very jarring, which, if we recognize that today is the anniversary of this day, and we know we have emunah that history repeats itself, and as we pass through time, there's always an echo of what happened on this day in the past. Rashi says the whole purpose of this conversation was Musar. Musar, it was you're getting called into the principal's office. And the principal says to you, I'm throwing you out of yeshiva. Don't come back until you bring with you either your father, your mother, or one of your parents. Okay. Sounds good for this generation. You like that, okay? Sperling, he likes that. Your father, or your mother, or one of your parents. So that's exactly what happened over here. It was, Rashi says, Musar. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is making an announcement. I'm going to die. Now, that's not a nice thing to say on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a happy day. There's no Tzidduk HaDin. There are no Hespedim and no Tzidduk HaDin on Rosh Chodesh. And Moshe over here, basically, he's making an announcement by giving them Musar, Rabbeisai, I'm going to die. That's a very sad thing on Rosh Chodesh. And he's in the process, since I'm going to die, and anyway, I'm not going to be around, so I might as well tell you off. I might as well tell you what I think of all of you. Mimi Lamar, who did he learn from? Mi Yaakov. Yaakov also did not give Musa until the moment before he died. Omar, he said, Ruvin Bidiata, Ani Oimulcha Mibne Maloi Haychachticha Kol Hashan Malalu. Why did I not rebuke you all of these years? Kadesh Shalo Tanicheni Vitelich Vitidabek Be'esavachi. If I would have given you Musa in the beginning, When did he want to give him Musa? He wanted to give Reuven Musa when he rearranged his bed. He probably wanted to give him. He was silent, because if Yaakov knew his children, he knew that if he would give him Musa, he would have went and joined forces with his uncle Esav. Reuven is an incredible Rashi. Reuven would have become a partner with the opposition. Can you think about politics? He would have jumped ship. He would have crossed the aisle. He would have voted with the other party. If I would have insulted him, incredible insight, human psychology. This is your party. Your 12 children are part of your camp. But if I would say boo to my own child, he would cross the line and would join the opposition. So therefore, Yaakov made a decision not to give him Musar. Is that incredible? And Yaakov is the Isha Emes. Emes. Emes is Emes. So why hold back? Let the truth be told. Okay, these are
Dvarim. I wasn't saying very much for removing.
Okay, that's right. He knew who he was. Okay, whatever it was. He's a child. I mean, he's a young person. And then he has, fine. And then he goes on, Rashi goes on to say more things. Then Rashi goes on to say there are really four reasons why you should not give Musar to a person prematurely. Number one is, you're wasting your time because you're going to have to rebuke him multiple times. Number two, you don't want your friend to see you and be embarrassed. If a person gives someone mussar and you tell them, I know what you did wrong, they're embarrassed. Every single time that they appear in front of you, they're going to be embarrassed. Okay, so he doesn't tell us all four reasons in Rashi. Rashi we'll leave that for now. But the basic idea over here is that that today on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, we take from this Rashi is a day of Musar. It's a day to reflect upon our shortcomings and our need for improvement. Mitzad Sheni, it's also a day of Moshe Rabbeinu communicating with Klal Yisrael. Now, there's a Medrash. I don't have the Medrash for you, the exact words of the Medrash, but the Medrash is a very big problem. Last week's parasha, we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kavad peh. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the ability to speak. Okay, if we go back to parasha Shemos, what? Lo ish dvarim anochi. Ki kavad peh v'kavad lo shoyin anochi. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, you want me to be the leader of Klal Yisrael? I can't give a public address. I can't speak in front of the microphone. When we know the story, was that Moshe Rabbeinu was a child, and the astrologers said, this little boy over here that's living in your house, we see that he may.
He took off the crown of Paro.
He took off the crown of Paro and put on his own.
He's going to take over.
He took off.
Let's test them.
So the story was, he took off Paro's crown. He was playing on Paro's lap, and he pulled off Paro's crown. So Paro got scared. He asked all of his magicians and his astrologers and v'chulu, says, let's test him. And they gave him a burning hot coal. I don't remember the whole story.
Glittering silver.
And silver, they put in front of him two things. Silver, thank you very much for the coffee. Thank you very much. They put in front of him two different things, some jewels, some silver, and a burning hot coal. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he stretched out his hand for the gold, for the silver, for the toys, whatever, for the good things. But that would have sealed his fate. I don't know the whole story as being a danger to the throne. And the Malach, came and pushed his hand that he should take the coals instead, burning out coals. And he took those coals to put in his mouth. And that caused him permanent damage. His tongue, his vocal cords were burnt, and Moshe Rabbeinu for the rest of his, until this point, was unable to talk.
Well, wait a minute, Har Sinai, everybody was cured.
Oh, so you asked a very good question. So you asked, absolutely, there is, I don't know the medicine. So Rav Menachem Sperling is asking the question that Matan Torah, Chazal say, everyone was cured. So we should assume that Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a medrash, all of the sick people were healed at the time of Matan Torah. And if that is the case, we have a right to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu was healed from his disability of being a kvad peh, kvad loshoin, at the time of Matan Torah. However, there's a conflicting Medrash, and this is very typical of the Midrashim. There are conflicting Midrashim. I can't cite you chapter and verse, but I have over here, forgive me a few minutes, I'll find a few here in the Sefer. There's a conflicting Medrash that says, not necessarily, when people were healed, they were healed from conditions that were affected their lives, but not everyone who had a runny nose was healed on the day of Matan Torah. Okay, a person that's had some minor issue, they didn't go and shut down Dwayne Reed after Matan Torah. The pharmacy was still open. Okay, it was still open. People still needed Advil. There were still things that people needed to take care of. Moshe Rabbeinu still did have a degree of disability until today. The fact the Pasuk emphasized Hoyel Moshe. Hoyel means for the very first time. It's a very beautiful word. On this day, on the day a parsha Shemois the first day of Shvat. Hoyel Moshe Be'er. Moshe began on this day for the very first time, to give over to Klal Yisrael everything that Hashem instructed him. It was a unique time. It was a complete healing where he had the ability to speak. One more time, it was the pasuk. Here it says, "Diber Moshe." Moshe spoke, and then it's the second time. It goes on and says, "Where's the second pasuk that describes this?" Eila hadvarim asher diber Moshe. Vayehi biarboim shana beash tesachos chodesh. Diber Moshe bnei Yisrael kol shas yoshim kosha. Acharei. Let me give you 1 second. We're A. Making a mistake. That's the word Hoyal Moshe. I thought it was the word Hoyal Moshe. Maybe not. Eile Hadva Moshe Dibe Moshe El Kol Yisrael Beva Yardin Chulu Achara Sayoim Vaihi Beva Mashon Beva Shesu Chodesh Beva Chodesh Dibe Moshe. Okay, it says Dibe Moshe El Bnei Shol Kecholash Hatsuya Shemosa Aleihem. Okay, let's leave it with that. Fine. The next pasuk is Be'eva Hayadin Beretz Moav. Well, here it is. It is the next. I'm sorry. The next pasuk. Be'eva Hayadin Beretz Moav. Hoyil Moshe Be'er Esa Torah Hazal Slema. Okay, so it does say the word. It says many expressions. It says actually three psukim that say almost the same thing. First, it says Eile Hadivodim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael, and then it says two psukim later Vayhi Bam Ashtei Asa Chodesh. Diber Moshe el Bnei Yisrael. It doesn't say the word koil. The first time it says el kol Yisrael. Here it says el Bnei Yisrael. And the third time it says Choyil Moshe. Moshe began Be'er to explain Es HaTorah HaZos Leimar. All right, three different expressions. All of these three expressions are being applied to today. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the day of Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. Today is the day of Diber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael. And today is the day of Hayil Moshe Be'er. Instead of saying the word Diber, it's Be'er to explain. And Hoyil means he began Be'er Es HaTorah HaZos Leimar saying. Okay, I'm prepared to focus on the three different expressions, but whatever they may refer to, which obviously is very, very deep, all happened today. And all of them include communication, the ability to communicate with the Bnei Yisrael, with Kol Yisrael, and to be able to be'er es haTorah, to explain the Torah. And it was Hoyil. And there is a Chazal that tell us that being that we have all these expressions on this very day, today, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the Koyach HaDibur of Moshe Rabbeinu was in full blossom. It reached a climax of eloquence, of expression, of ability to speak, the complete end to his disability of ki krevad peh uchevad lashoin anoichi. Now, why is that specifically on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? So the answer is very simple. This is not my idea. I saw this in the new sefer that came out not that long ago. Here it is. It's called Field Vision. This was written by one of the students or balabatim of Rabbi Moshe Weinberg, very famous Rav from Woodmere, Eish Kodesh, and it's not clear if he has a student or a balabas by the name of Binyamin Wolf, and he wrote this book Lezecher Nishmas Rabbi Moshe Weinberger's father. And Moshe Weinberger's father died last year, Tu B'Shvat. In 15 days from today will be the yard site of Moshe Weinberger's father. He was a Holocaust survivor. He was a very, very chosh of a person, it appears from what I've read in this sefer. He was revered by his family. And look, he produced a child like a Moshe Weinberger, who's quite a Talmud Chacham and a very great mashpia on many people far and wide. He, for many years, Rabbi Weinberger was a mashpia in Yeshiva University. I believe now he started his own sort of institution, I'm not really familiar. And this Talmud compiled a collection of drashos that were given both, it seems, in Yeshiva University and in his shul, in Esh Kodesh, on Tu B'Shvat, into this beautiful volume. And what I'm telling you now is not exactly what it says in the Sefer, but all of the ideas are rooted in what I've seen in the Sefer. And he says something here very, very, he brings this pasuk, and he brings this medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu today was healed from his disability. And the obvious question is, what in the world does this have to do with Rosh Chodesh Shavat? And the answer is very simple. Today, the month itself as a whole is Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilanis. And especially according to Beis Shammai, it's on today. And it appears that there's no disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The only difference is, when can you detect it? The naked eye can already begin to see simonim mufhakim in 15 days from now that things are changing. Although you'll say, you'll go out into the street and you'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. It's freezing cold outside and I don't see any signs of life on a tree. Well, you don't know what you look, you don't know how to look. But if you were a scientist, what's it called?
A botanist.
You would be able to show simonim mufhakim that are nira lo'ayin, that it's a new world. The trees are blossoming.
Isn't this the subject of the current daf?
Yes, it is. It is indeed so. Indeed, it is. It is fascinating. It is, you know, the hashkacha pratis about trees and when is it called the fruit riding for the laws of shavias, the laws of arla. And for different related matters, it's Hashkacha Pratis that these things coincide with the Daf Yomi to discuss these matters. Shocking, right? Hashkacha Pratis. Mm-hmm. So always happens these type of things in the Daf Yomi. Mm-hmm. So it cannot be a coincidence. There's too much Hashkacha. It's too, the statistics just don't, the numbers don't add up. If someone do a statistical analysis of how many Dafim and Shas speak about these matters and the chances of it falling out during Tu B'Shvat, the math would be off the charts.
Test of statistical significance.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaroi.
Amen.
And Baruch Abinenstock, thank you for the coffee. Will my teeth get stained from the black coffee? When it come to you, you'll take care of me, my teeth. Now, let's continue. So he says something which really blew my mind, and that is, you know why Tu B'Shvat is the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Kech HaDibur being repaired? Because speech is the fruit of man. Let's explain. Man is a tree. He's a tree. Why is he a tree? It's a pasuk. Ki ha'adam eitz hasodeh. What are the peros? Well, children, of course. That's the pasuk shot. Children, the peros ilan, the person's children. But there's another fruit that man produces, and that is his Kech HaDibur. How do you know that? What are fruits called? Fruits are called in the Torah the tenuvas hasodeh.
Tenuvas. So speech is called nivsifasayim.
So again, let's clarify. Tenuvas hasodeh. Pasuk says, I will bless the tenuvas hasodeh. The translation of that word means the fruit, the produce of the earth. A Navi, a prophet, is called a prophet. Why? The most famous, simple understanding is the word Navi comes from the word the Niv Sifosayim, the murmuring of lips, the movement of lips. So Tenuva Sasada means things that move from the field. Tenuva means to move. They rattle. Trees, they rattle the leaves, they rattle in the wind. Branches, they move with the wind. Fruit, it moves. Things that the earth, the earth is stationary. But things that are attached to the earth are moving. They're growing, They're growing. They're descending. They're falling. They're blowing in the wind. A produce, the product of the earth, is the tenuvas hasodeh. A human being's product is his koyach hadibur, the ability to communicate, the ability to express himself, and that's why a navi is called a navi of lashon of niv sifasayim, the murmuring, the movement of his lips, which is a symbolic expression, which produces sound and words and sophisticated ideas to produce communication. So now we can fully appreciate why Moshe Rabbeinu on this day was healed from his disability and is now able to be a daber el kol Yisrael, to be a daber el bnei Yisrael, and to be Hoyil Moshe Be'er es HaTorah HaZais, to eloquently explain the words of the Torah on this day, because this day, Dibur are the peiros of man. Man is the tree. Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh. The Dibur is the peiros. And in the physical world, in the world that we live in, on in this month, in the middle of the month, is when a botanist can actually show you that there are signs of life in the tree. But Beis Shammai has more sensitivity. Okay, Beis Shammai is just a little bit more sensitive. He says the average botanist can't see the signs, but the expert, the world-renowned experts, can already see simonim, that there's life in the trees, even on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. It's a time of the year, and physically, where fruits are beginning to come to life to some degree, whatever that means. The sap in the trees, whatever, the process has arrived. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis. So there's a direct correlation between Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to communicate with Klal Yisrael and the physical world that today and in this month is going to produce its fruit. And this year, I don't think there's ever been a year that's been more relevant for us in the history of the world. I mean, not history of the world, I don't go that far back. But at least in our lifetime, where the koyach of communication is under attack in a magnificent way. And the average person, you talk to the average person who has absolutely nothing to do with politics, couldn't care less, because why should you care? You can't make a difference anyway, most people. For most of us, what power do we have anyway? Even though, yeah, of course, you have to vote. Everyone's vote counts. You know, if everyone sounds like that, then everyone's not going to vote. And then, you know, okay, yeah. I know the whole story. But bottom line is, kid, you don't have any, you just entertain them. Just watch the show. Sit back and watch the show. But yet, somehow, it's reached epic proportions where the average person feels, you know, I better be careful what I say. I can't say that because someone's listening. Someone's listening. I can't write something on my Facebook page. I can't write something on my Twitter account. I can't speak in public. I can't go on Zoom because who knows who's listening? And if I'm going to offend someone who's a violent person, they'll turn the tables on me and they'll tell me that I'm a terrorist, or I sympathize with terrorism, or I encourage terrorism, and I have to be silenced. I have to be silenced. There's no discussion. Today we live in a world where the one who has can silence the other one better wins, and there's no judge. There's no trial. You have individuals who own these massive companies, Twitter, Amazon. What's mind your own business? Since when did Amazon get involved in these things? The one person, the CEO of one company, he's the shayfet. Hashayfet kol aretz. You're the judge. You're the jury. You're the witness to decide who's allowed to speak, who's not allowed to speak. Who mi samcha l'ish? Sar v'shefet aleinu, a CEO of Twitter, a CEO of Facebook, a CEO of Swipe, what's it called? What's that company called? I use them in the summer. the one of the biggest financial payment services. I forgot what they're called already.
Well, we know Amazon also.
That's what I said. Amazon, Facebook, and Twitter. And you name, there's a whole long list. And Snapchat, and Instagram, and all these things I never heard of before my whole life. Swipe, what's it called? Stripe. I know, Stripe. I used Stripe in the summer for many, many years. Stripe, you don't even realize when every time you swipe your credit card, there are only a handful number of companies that are handling the transaction behind the scenes. And there's a major company called a Stripe that handles the credit card transactions for many, many companies. And it's shut down. We don't hold from you. And if you listened yesterday to our mayor, how he spoke with such emotion and hate, it's remarkable. The mayor, de Blasio, how the New York City is canceling all contracts because this individual is engaged in criminal activity. Who made you the shofet? The jury, and the shofet, and the executioner? Mi sam chola ish? Isn't there a court of law? Isn't there some order? Isn't there some system of mishpat? Who made you the shofet? Hashofet kol haaretz, and people, the average person, including myself, you watch your back. The ability to express a thought or an opinion is immediately associated with the assumption that you're violent and you're going to kill somebody. And you're planning to create an insurrection to overthrow the world because you expressed an idea or you have a doubt, express some doubt. Your ability to communicate has to be thoroughly silenced. Shocking. The average, and it's not like, politics for me most of my life has always been nothing more than entertainment. Most of the time, it's so boring. I don't even pay attention. 90%. Once in a while, something catches my interest. I don't know why. I like to watch, but I get worked up.
Does
my blood pressure go up from this? Almost never. It's entertaining. It's just purely entertaining to watch the actors on the world stage make a fool out of themselves. And some people, they do very smart things. It's just like a chess game. But lately, it's not been like that. I don't think it's not been like that for me, and it's not been like that for almost everyone that I know. Everyone has gotten all worked up. Why? I don't know. Doesn't make a difference. One person has no real power. But now it's reached a new level where everyone feels someone is watching them. And their ability to...
I certainly have that feeling.
Right, okay, so you see.
Looking over my shoulder, I have to be careful.
So your ability, your koyach hadibur has been damaged, has been affected. It's a shocking thing, especially in America, First Amendment, freedom of speech. And to automatically, you have to defend that anything that you say is not violent. That's the default is anything you say by default is you're a terrorist. You're ISIS. Like someone said to me, I deal with a lot of people that are really on the left. And after Myra, boy, they fight. And they really hold... They're like real stark Democrats, and they say that's right. All the Twitter did, all of these major companies, they're 100% correct, because what's their proof? He says to me, not to me, I was watching someone else, is because look at ISIS. It is a fact that partial success in suppressing the terrorist organizations of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Hezbollah has come through shutting down their social media network. This is a fact. It's a fact that the United States was successful in shutting down their communications through social media. And therefore, the conclusion is that anyone that says anything that is against their opinion is just like ISIS, no different than Hezbollah, no different than Al-Qaeda. And it opened in the news that our politicians have compared Trump to Osama bin Laden. And January 6th is much worse than 9/11. 9/11 is a walk in the park compared to... So therefore, anyone that opens up their mouth has to automatically defend themselves that they're not sympathetic to these terrorists. That's what I hear. That's the attitude that I see in front of my eyes from some of the people that I speak to, and it has affected me. It has affected me, and I don't know what to say. I don't know. I'm a type of person that gets intimidated very, very easily, and I think a lot of people are like me. They get intimidated very easily, and today we have to remember today is Tu B'Shvat, is Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilanos, and the only message we can learn is that we have to take chizuk from the fact that today is the anniversary where Moshe Rabbeinu was given the gift of communication, the gift to express himself. And this gift to express himself is the peiros of man. Man is a tree, ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. And man has a God-given right to think, to have ideas, to accomplish an intellectual concepts and pursuits, and then to express them in a healthy way. And the expression of these intellectual concepts is the fruit of man. Man is the tree, and man speaks is a niv sifosayim. And today is the day of the tenuvas hasodeh. And we live in a blessed country, which human beings have had the insight, the God-given insight to establish such a principle called freedom of speech. And obviously, you know, you can't abuse it. In this country, probably freedom of speech has gone a little bit too far. I think that's how I feel. You know, obviously, how far can you go with freedom of speech? But to go to the other extreme. The other extreme, just to everyone has to be on the defense. There's only one way, it's my way or the highway. And everyone automatically is suspected of being a terrorist if they express anything which is not 100% in accordance with the people who are in control. People there in control. This is a country, the democratic country. They won the election by hook or by crook. It's theirs. They're now in power. And that's how it is, whether you like it or not. And anyone to chas v'sholem have a machshava, you have to feel that you're on the defense because your silence is indicative that you are sympathetic to craziness. This is ridiculous. This is not what it's about, Rabbi Sai. This is not what it's about. And
I had a reader yesterday write to me that she's concerned about, well, can anybody look at, you know, what I'm writing, what I'm thinking? And I advised her, be subtle, be smart, you know.
Be practical. Don't... Yeah, they won. The terrorists won.
That's what I try
they
to
always
do.
Always win. They always win. There's nothing you can do about it. That's life. Over and over again. It's always the same thing. Both. Listen, this goes on. This goes on all over. This goes on in the yeshiva world also. In the yeshiva world, in the frum world, silencing, canceling people. This is a sickness in the world. It's just taken on a new proportion, a whole new league. And we have to just take chizuk from the fact that today is Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilanos, the Niv Sifasayim of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hoyil Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Hazos. Torah is Emes. Torah is Emes. Asher Nosan Lanu Toras Emes. The Chai Olam Nata Abesachinu Torah is the ultimate emes. And Moshe Rabbeinu on this day was able to express words of truth. There's no greater emes in the world than the words of Torah. And today is when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the full koyach of the gift of expressing emes. And we have to just attach ourselves to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Kedusha of the Koyach HaDibur, not to abuse it, and not to be intimidated when we have in our hands Hashem's gift of Torah's Emes. Okay, let's discuss another idea. we make a bracha on trees. So I just want to just review a bein. This is something you normally talk about when it's Chodesh Nisan. But today is no Chodesh Shvat, is the Chodesh of, is the month of trees. The whole Chodesh, everything of the Chodesh is rooted in the beginning of the month, and it's also Lefi Beis Shammai, the earliest sign is the beginning of the month. And when it comes to Chodesh Nisan, when it's much later, when we can see already the fruits coming forth, there's a special bracha that we make. And the bracha goes, let me turn the page to the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Sheloi Chisar Be'olamoi Dovar. Incredible bracha. Chodesh Nisan begins, you'll see all the signs, the emails, the texts, the WhatsApps, where you can go and make a bracha on the trees. When you see a tree blossoming in Chodesh Nisan, you can make the bracha, you should make the bracha. And you make the bracha, but in Hashem, now that, even though that's when you can make the bracha, but today, in Chodesh Shvat, is where the process begins. It's now in motion. Until Chodesh Shvat, the world was in a state of decay. Whatever there was last year, slowly withered, died, disappeared. Now we come to Shvat, this renewal, renaissance, refreshment. And we can't make the bracha yet. It's going to take a long time until we get there, 2 months until we get there. But today the process begins in Chodesh Shvat. And what is the process? The process, Chazal captured the process in a few words, which speak volumes of how they looked at a fruit, what a fruit represents in this world. And the words are, Sheloi Chisar Be'olamoi Dovar. There is nothing in this world that is missing. Uvarovo, Hashem created, Biriyois Toivois, beautiful creatures. What does a creature have to do with fruit? Let's see. Then it says, Ve'ilanois Toivim. And Hashem created trees, good trees. Ilanois, and what about the bad trees? I guess there's no such thing. And then the next expression is Lehanois Bohem Bnei Adam, in order for man to derive a benefit. Now, wait a minute. There's a lot going on over here. First of all, what is Biriyois Toivois doing in this bracha? When you make a bracha on a fruit, you're not making a bracha on a giraffe. You're not making a bracha on a, I don't know, some exotic fish. Why do they stick in the Biriyois Toivois into this blessing? What's going on here? And why is it, by the way, in the first? Shouldn't it be, you know, the main thing is to make a bracha on the fruit. And why is it, you should right away say, V'ilonois Toivim. Then you could, if you want to add something else, add something else. Number three, why are we focusing on the tree? We're supposed to make this bracha when we witness the fruit come forth, not when we witness the tree. Right? This bracha, I'll read you in the caption, the instructions of the article sitter, Haroyeh, which really is a quote from Shulchan Aruch. Haroeh ilanoi shel pri machol kishemotziim perach be'aviv, when they produce their blossoms in the spring, mivarech. So maybe I'm making a mistake. It's not really on the fruit. It's when the trees begin to blossom. So that appears that the bracha really is on the tree. Is that really what it says? I guess so. I think this is the main misnomer. That we think that the blessing is on the fruit. It's not. The blessing that we're really making is on the tree. And today is Rosh Hashanah lo ilanois. And the bracha taka talks about the ilanois toivim. It's just, I guess, that when the tree begins to blossom, it's a revelation about the tree. And I think that answer explains the other two questions that we had. When we're making a bracha, when you see a tree blossom, you're not making a bracha on the fruit. You make a bracha on the fruit when you eat the fruit. You're not eating the fruit. You're looking at the tree and you witness the tree blossoming. You see a fruit beginning to develop. When the fruit begins to develop, so there's no, you don't make a bracha on the fruit. You have to wait for the fruit to develop 100%, pluck it off the tree, and bite into it to make the blessing on that fruit. So you're not making a blessing on the fruit. That's premature. But when the fruit begins to blossom, it awakens you to make a blessing on the system, on the tree that Hashem created in this world, a tree, a manufacturing plant somewhere in Malaysia that produces these nice shiny gadgets for you. When you see the product begin to roll off the shelf, it demands that you use your intellect to trace it to its source. And what is its source? A tree. And there's a demand by Chazal to praise Hashem for the source. Once already you're going to the source, you're going deeper, it demands of you to go further. Why stop with the tree? Go and let's look at all of the other things that are in this world, which are part of the network, a part of the infrastructure of this world, which includes the Briyos Tovos, all of God's creations. And what's the purpose of all this? The purpose of all of this is because Hashem wants to give man benefit. This goes back to the Ramchal. What is the purpose of creation? Only we knew what the purpose of creation was, who know, but at least just the words of the Ramchal, which have shaken up the world, is the purpose of the creation is because Hashem wants to bestow kindness upon his creatures. It's hard for us to see that, but he created us in order that he can bestow upon humanity, upon the world, chesed. We don't often see that. We don't understand how all that works, but that is the goal. But it's what it says in the bracha. The bracha here says lehenos bohem b'nei adam. So here's the point I want to make. I'm speaking in circles, unfortunately. But the point is, the day of Shvat, the first day of Shvat, begins a process that will culminate when we see the blossoms coming out of the tree. Today is the first day of a process which will end in the Chodesh Nisan. And when this process ends, we make a bracha. But the concept of the bracha begins right now. And the bracha is a unique bracha, which is a bracha that demands us to look at the big picture. It's extremely rare, such a principle, because in Judaism, we're always managing the world. It's always micro. We're always focusing on very specific little things. Oh, you have a fruit? Bori Priyo Eitz. You have a vegetable, Bori Priyo Adama. You have a piece of chocolate, Shakom Ye Bidvaro. You go and you put on your shoes, Sha'osli Kol Tzarki. You put on your hat, Oiter Yisrael B'sifara. Oh, what's today's day? Oh, today's Rosh Chodesh. Oh, Karban Musaf. Rosh Chodoshim Liam Chod Nosota. A special davening. Oh, today is the Yalav Yava. Not tomorrow. Today is... We live in a world in the Yados, where there's an enormous emphasis on very specific things. To look at the trees and not look at the forest. It's almost as if most of the time all of the mitzvahs are telling us, don't look at the forest. Because if you look at the forest, you're going to get confused. You're not going to be able to understand. Don't look at the forest. Just focus on what you have in front of you. What's today's calendar date? Hayoim yoim chamishi. Shabo hayu halevim oim rimeves amigdash. Just focus on what's in front of you. How often are you given the option in this world to stand back and look at the big picture? Almost never. Not in Yadus. The notable exception is Reish HaShana Lo Ilanos. When the tree begins to blossom, you see a product coming off the assembly line. It awakens in man, it has a koyach, and it's only by trees. It seems like Chazal are picking up on the human condition, that this, when a person sees the fruit begin to blossom, somehow, for some reason, Chazal were very insightful, it opens up a person's mind, wait a minute, how did this little bud come forth? Oh, there's a tree. There is a whole backdrop. There's a forest. And in this forest, there are briois toivois. There are many creatures in this world, which all contribute to society. And what's the purpose of all this? What's the purpose of all of this? Why did Hashem do all of this for in this world? What's the purpose? Oh, we're here in this world to have pleasure. Lehonos b'nei Adam. I don't believe you're going to find the bracha in all of our brachas that are so, they are so general, that are so broad in studying purpose of creation. It's so against what we do every single day. In the Shemon Esrei, there are 19 blessings. Each blessing is laser focused on one specific issue. To go and look at something and focus on the whole purpose from, wow, you created trees in order, a system, and you created briois toivos, which means everything, the whole world, the complexity of all of Hashem's creatures, which includes everything, the yam, the shamayim, the stars, animals, fish, different types of human beings, all different types. There are men, there are women, Democrats, Republicans, all different forms of humanity. Briois toivois. And then the purpose? Since when do you have a bracha telling you the purpose of anything in this world? Have emuna. Just have emuna. Lehones bohemadim. Hashem wants to be mative. Incredible. Incredible bracha. Mm-hmm. An incredible process which opens up a person's mind. And it starts today. Today, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the beginning of the process which culminates in the conclusion of making that bracha. It's a period of being able to sit back and look at the forest and not focus on the tree. Okay, that is... one idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Other short ideas. In the Mishnah that talks about Roshana Lo Ilanos, all of us should take note of the expression of the Mishnah. Be'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashana Le'ilan. I mean, it doesn't say Ilanos. Le'divrei Beis Shammai. The question is, why does the pasuk say, the Mishnah say, lo ilon, to the tree? Why doesn't it say in the pasuk that it is Rosh Hashanah lo ilonos, trees v'loshon rabim? Why does the Mishnah describe the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of a tree? A single tree, not many, many trees. So Rav Tzadok, he says something very, very fascinating. Over here in the Sefer that I'm using from Rav Moshe Weinberger, he quotes Rav Tzadok that says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they're arguing about, it's the Rosh Hashanah for one very specific tree, the Eitz Hadas. We're not focusing on all the other trees. We're not focusing on all the trees in the forest and all the trees. We are focusing on the Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilon, the tree of the Eitz Hadas Toiv Vara. It's a new year for that tree. The question is, what are you talking about? The world was created in Tishrei. So the tree was created, I mean, when we talk about, it's not really true, when was the world created? Some say, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we say, Hayom Haras Olam, we focus on creation in Tishrei. And it's Machlokes in the Gemara, when was the world created? Was it created in Tishrei, was it created in Nisan? Many of the Mefarshim liked it, and the Nusach of the Davening on Rosh Hashanah certainly indicates that the world was created in Tishrei. However, it's Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua, and the compromise that many of the Poskim want to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew up the plans in Tishrei, but in actuality the world came into existence in Nisan. Okay, whatever, this is all Kabbalistic type of stuff. Question, okay, we're not going to be able to answer the question of why is it in Shvat in relation to the Eitz Hadas. But the concept is as follows. This is the basic idea I'm trying to extract from my Moshe Weinberger Sefer. The fact is, on Aleph Tishrei, Aleph Shvat, according to Beis Shammai, and according to Beis Hillel 15 days later, is when trees begin to blossom. A person who's programmed, whose sensitivity is only spirituality, when you look at a tree that begins to blossom, you only think about one tree. All of these trees is just distraction. It's just an awakening to think about the only tree that really counts. And the only tree that really counts is the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra. Hashem created in Gan Eden a tree. Adam HaRishon was permitted to eat from every single tree in the world. There was only one single tree that he was told not to eat from. The Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. And Adam made a horrible mistake, and he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Thus, what is the service of man on this day, when we live in a world where today we take note and we acknowledge, we pay tribute to the trees that are beginning to blossom? We take note of our obligation to renew our commitment of how we got here. I mean, because Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, he made this terrible mistake. He was expelled from Gan Eden. And here we are today. Adam, there was a gezeirah on man to die. And we have all of the problems that we have in this world. If only Adam would not have violated Hashem's command of eating from the Eitz Hadas. Thus, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is a time to make a good decision, is to remember that in life, decisions matter. There are consequences. Every Chodesh had its own unique lesson and challenge from a religious point of view. If this month is the month when trees are renewed in the physical world, and our whole existence in this world is a consequence of the chait of Adam HaRishon violating Hashem's command not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So when the trees are renewed, it's a month where Hashem is telling us, commit yourself now at this time of the year to recognize that when you make decisions in life, what you do, what you don't do, where Hashem tells you not to do something and you're in violation, there are consequences. There are severe consequences. It's Rosh Hashanah le'ilon. Which Elon? The one Elon. It's as if Hashem is telling you, today I am putting into this world the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. Don't eat from this tree. If you eat from this tree, there will be consequences. We have to challenge ourselves. Will we eat? Will we not eat? If Hashem tells you, don't eat, Mayim ginuvim yimtaku. Stolen waters are sweet. When someone tells you don't, that's when we first have a desire to do. We're presented with this challenge. When we see in front of us the world, the renewal of trees, it triggers a reminder of the first tree that was presented to Adam HaRishayin, which was a challenge in his emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How are we going to survive that? Well, the answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the very same day where the Eitz Hadas, Toi Vara, is presented to us in this world, Hoyil Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah HaZois Lemar. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the antidote that it should not be a repeat performance of being nichshel in the Eitz Hadas. Adam HaRishon Chava did not have the tools to deal with the nisoyon of eating, of not eating from the Eitz Hadas. Because Adam HaRishon, they were presented with a delicious fruit in front of them. What are you going to do? The Yetzihar is too strong. But we, on this very day, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, it was necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to begin and teach us Mishneh Torah, Hoyil Moshe Be'eres HaTorah HaZos Lemar, on this very specific day, more so than any other day of the year, is because since today it's Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilanos, and in front of us today is dangling the Eitz Hadas Toivara, a recreation, a renewal of the Eitz Hadas Toivara, which represents the challenge man faces of obeying Hashem's orders versus disobeying Hashem's orders. The antidote to this nisoyon is Hayol Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah HaZos. Okay, that is another idea. Now let's move ahead to maybe one more idea about trees. There's something very unique about a tree relative to a vegetable, and that is patience. What's the difference between a vegetable and a tree and a fruit tree? A vegetable, you plant a seed, and it grows pretty quickly. And after it grows, what do? You can eat it immediately. Trees takes years for trees to mature. And in fact, the Torah says there's a mitzvah called Orla, that for the first 3 years that a tree grows, it is forbidden to derive any benefit from a tree. The Gemara talks about the story about a person. Was Choni Hamagol? Maybe it was Choni Hamagol. He saw someone planting a carob tree. So he said to him, "Why are you planting the carob tree? What are you doing? Why bother?" Carob trees take 70 years to produce fruit. 70 years. So why are you wasting your time? Why are you making an investment in planting a carob tree when you'll never live to enjoy its fruit? So the person told him Musa that is shocking. The Musa is, listen, I came into this world, there were carobs. Someone planted those carobs for me 70 years ago. I don't know who he was, but he did it. So it's my duty to reciprocate and plant a carob tree for the next generation. The concept of a carob, a fruit, now that a carob is the most extreme, boxer, we don't like carobs because it's the most extreme quality of a fruit where it takes time. But the truth is, every single fruit is the same. Fruit, any fruit that you eat is a product of years of planting. It doesn't grow out of the ground. It grows in trees. And trees don't grow overnight. It takes a very long time for a tree to develop. And then the halacha steps in after the tree finally develops to a degree of maturity. Don't eat it for the first 3 years. And the fourth year, you have to take its food, go to Yerushalayim. So for you just to go to an apple tree and pull an apple off an apple tree and make a bar pure eitz, it was years of planning. Patience. Years in the making. It requires a lot of patience. In contrast to a vegetable, you plant a seed, it grows, you eat it, you're done, finished. Bar pure adama, you finish it. There's, relatively speaking, very little waiting and delay. The essence of a tree is the principle of patience. Patience and planning. That is what the unique quality of a tree. The fruits are not available for a very long time. It's not for nothing that the pasuk compares a human being to a tree. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. A tree doesn't produce fruit overnight. Years in the making. A person does not produce fruit overnight. It takes years in making for a person to mature, to understand, to comprehend, to see the big picture, and then to go forward and produce a product. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is that time of planning. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, more so than any other month, is the time where there's a change. There's a change in the weather. There's a change in the environment. There's a new boss in town. Okay, there is a, you know, it's interesting. It's not for nothing that there's a new president comes into office. Come on, in Tu B'Shvat. Okay, there is a change. There is a change in the world.
What a club!
Okay, there's a change in the world, and when there's a change in the world, it triggers. It's time to plan. It's not time to be rash, and impulsive, and shoot from the hip. When in the world you see change, it's a time to let's strategize. Let's look deep into the future and see how we can achieve something in the long run. One of the greatest churbanos in politics is no one is in office long enough to ever do anything significant for the long run. This is the very big challenge of a person is planning to be in office.
Yeah, look at Biden.
A person in general isn't planning to be in office for 20 years. You can plan ahead. If you have to watch your back and they're going to throw you out in 2 years, they're going to overturn, you know, the midterm elections, they're going to overturn your whole, everything's going to be, you know, you're always just pandering to, you know, you're playing games. It's a very big problem. You can't plan ahead. But for us, Chazal gave us Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, a tree, the essence of a tree represents planning and patience. That's what it represents. The spitz of this is charuv. Charuvim, because charuvim takes 70 years to grow and develop. When does a person have a tendency to sit down and think and plan is at a time of change. Tu B'Shvat, or Chodesh Shvat, is a time of the year that in Halach is considered the end of the winter and the beginning of the spring. There is an alteration. There is a subtle change, but it's significant enough for a person to appreciate that we're heading towards a new time. Chodesh Nisan is going to be 2 months from now. That's Chodesh Aviv. It's a new time. But the transition process begins with Shavat. And when you're in that frame of mind, that is you are conditioned and you are prepared like no other time in the year to now think ahead. What do you want for the future? When you come to Shul on Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei, it's not a good time to make plans. You can sit there the whole long Shemona Esher, the long davening Rosh Hashanah. We all know you're already in it. You're in the season. You can think about life and all, but you don't have that's not the time to make the plans. The time of planning and strategizing in the eyes of Chazal is now. Now is the month, and that expresses itself in the principle of a tree. And in Moshe Rabbeinu giving us the Torah, Be'er Moshe Satorah Hazois, if you want to plan ahead, think Torah. When you Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking El Kol Yisrael, El Bnei Yisrael, Hoyol Moshe Be'er Satorah Hazois, why is he speaking to Klal Yisrael on Chodesh Shvat? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu begin his Mishnah Torah on Tishrei? Begin it in Adar, begin another time of the year. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu was sensitive to understand that, that the environment affects a person's outlook on life. And when the weather changes, when the world around you is in transition, that awakens a personal growth spurt of desiring to transition and plan ahead. And now's the time. And a tree is the perfect example in the Berea of transition because of the principle that a tree takes an enormous amount of time to develop and to produce fruit. Okay, but I mean, I'll say one last thing over here, very short, is that I know someone told this to me recently. I thought it was a crazy, crazy question, but maybe it's not so crazy, the question, because I actually saw someone speak about this. I remember in the Sefer, someone who went on an interview, it was like last out of the blue, someone who went on a job interview for a job, and the person who was interviewing him said to him the following crazy question. If you were a tree, what part of a tree would you want to be? Would you want to be the roots? Would you want to be the bark, the trunk, the branches, or the fruit? What would you want to be? And obviously the person that interviewed him was professionally trained, psychoanalysis. Hear what he had to go to say, which obviously there's some type of science behind this. What would you say? What would Mayor say? what would you say if someone asked you that question? If you were a tree, what part of the tree would you want to be? Chazal said, ki ho'odam. Chazal said, interesting, Chazal knew about this question, it appears, because Chazal said, ki ho'odam eitz hasodeh. Everything. I want to be everything. The Pasuk says, man, if someone asks you that question on an interview, you say to them, I want to be everything. Because the Torah says, you can be, Adam is the Eitz HaSodeh. Out! Everything. You're part of everything. I don't remember who says this, but one of them, maybe it's a Medrash, probably not, but the Medrash says, we know there are different types, we'll leave you with this last thing, there are different types of trees. There are some trees that produce delicious fruit. And there are some trees that don't produce fruit, period. And some of them produce fruit, but it's not so, you know, not so tasty. The fruit is bitter. And some trees produce poisonous fruit. Mm-hmm. All different types of trees. Why? Why is that so? So it's either a Medrash or it's a Hasidus Shememra. I don't know who says this, but it caught my attention. And the answer is, the tree in the spring, in the summer, was in full blossom. It was living a life. It was unbelievable, successful, fresh, healthy leaves, fruit, shade. Came the fall, and all of a sudden, things are not so good. Not so good. Things took a steep turn for the worst. Its leaves started falling. The bark started getting brittle, got ugly, bare, horrible, a skeleton. A horrible, horrible thing happened to the tree. So what did the tree do? It didn't happen to one tree, it happened to all the trees. So they all started to daven. This is like a Chassidus Shemaisa, this thing. All the trees started to daven. Ribono Shel Olam. We're dying, we're suffering, we're withering, we're perishing. What's going to be? They started to cry and daven. And then this went on one day, another day, another day. And slowly and surely, some of the trees stopped davening. They gave up. Nothing's changing. It's freezing cold. There's ice. And it's bitter. They quit. Other trees says, don't quit. Keep on davening. Keep on going. And they kept on going. But as time passed, more and more people dropped out. There are only a handful, a number of trees that maintained their emunah in Hashem, that kept on davening and davening and davening. And then guess what? Guess what happened? It came the spring. It came Shvat. And all of a sudden, Tchias HaMesim, Mechaya HaMesim, it came back to life. But then when it came into the spring, when they started to produce fruits, they were not all the same. Some trees that came the spring had delicious fruit. Delicious. Pri Eitz Hodor. Exquisite. And some trees, no. Fruit. Okay. Go on Avenue M. Grade B. Okay. Good. All different. Some end up in the orchards. And, you know, everyone ended up in a different place. And some of them had poison. They ended up in, who knows, some poisonous trees. Some trees, nothing. No fruit. Why? Why did some of the trees produce beautiful, delicious fruit? And some trees, no fruit. Some trees, all corresponded to the tefillos, of the degree of giving up that the trees showed during the difficult times. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria, that's what happened. Now, I have to understand what that means exactly. But when Hashem created the Bria, He did a trial run, Kaviyachol. He did a trial run with all of the trees and let them go through a cycle. And He watched how some of them continued to have emunah in Hashem, to pray to Hashem. And those that prayed to the very, very end, never let go of the faith, those trees are the ones today that have the most beautiful, delicious fruit. And the trees that gave up, it's bitter cold, this ice drooping from my branches, no peros. Some of them were bitter. They complained. They produced poison. Now it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The trees are going to begin to blossom. But not every tree is going to blossom the same. The degree that they will blossom will depend on how much prayer, how much faith and hope they expressed during the last couple of months. And that's the Musar Haskel for us in Chodesh Shvat, to acknowledge the day will come when we will blossom once again in every dimension. But remember, when the day will come and we will blossom, not everyone's going to blossom the same. The ones that will blossom and produce delicious fruit will be the ones that today in the dark times, in the difficult times of Hester Panim, they don't lose the faith. They go forward with Emunah Pshuta. That's the Musar Haskel of Chodesh Shvat. You see? The trees are going to blossom. The dark days will end. But not every tree is going to blossom the same. The ones that held the faith, they will produce the delicious fruit. And you want to be from those trees. That's the Musar to learn from Chodesh Shvat. Now, boys, have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening. All the best.
To those who kept when they came to
To America.
Right?
Beautiful.
Shkaya. If anyone does not, today is the yahrzeit of Shaul and his son.